Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, this is Brother Hunter in Houston, Texas from KASK Radio Station. Tonight's the night that we will continue on the topic that I'm going to give regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I have some questions after I finished that first lesson. I taught the reason why some believers have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said it was through ignorance, fear, doctrinal difference, sin, and I suggested to search the scriptures, for you will find everything you need in there. Because they will answer every question in a biblical perspective and experience. So, tonight we go back to the same format. And what we want to try to do in the name of Jesus is to continue to empower, to pledge, to push, to pray, to believe, to force our way in the kingdom of God. Because the laborers are few. And we need to pray that God will send laborers into the vineyard. So before we get on the air too far gone, I have the prayer before the Father. Shall we pray? Father, tonight's the night that we come to you once again in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, asking that any sins that we have committed, knowing or unknowing, or said or done, to think, we ask you to forgive us, purge us, make us whole, let your blood of Jesus Christ wash us, maybe become sanctified, maybe we live a holy life. Father, we just thank you for hearing our prayer. Hearing our prayer in Jesus' name, we thank you. Tonight we just believe that as we teach this lesson, somebody's going to be touched. Somebody's life will be changed. Somebody's understanding will be changed. Somebody's attitude will come to know the fullness of Jesus Christ. And because tonight is the night that we say hallelujah, we thank you, we praise you, we adore you, and we magnify your holy name. And Father, tonight's the night that I just say thank you for everything that you have done. I thank you most of all for the love that you sent to us through Jesus Christ and everything that Jesus Christ has done for us. Tonight's the night I just pray to you. And I ask you to give me wisdom, give me knowledge, give me understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. So, again, I've become one to say to the beloved tonight, we got another, it's the same lesson. The old preacher said, well, we're going to let everybody get it down foot. Get it down pat, we're going to stay right where you are. And I want to say this to everyone tonight that is listening to me via cell phone, via iPad, via computer. Let me tell you, God has made a great way for us to do what we're doing. And I've said many times to people, you want to do what God say, you can't complain because the door is wide open. One thing I want to put out tonight to you is this. Jesus is coming back as King. Now, one of the other things I would have you to say, that I would have you to believe, the early church leader, the Apostle Paul, he came to the city of Ephesus, and he found these 12 men out there doing what they had been followers of John the Baptist. Well, naturally, he asked a question. He stopped talking to me and said, and by him being a man of God, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? They had to confess their ignorance, for they knew nothing about the Holy Spirit. See, later Paul said, well, come here, brother. He prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit, and the 12 were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Acts chapter 19, verses 1. Wow. Today's a similar situation. Some here may don't want to believe it. It is. Because everybody don't want to get down to the cloth of the word. The expression of the word in the royal diadem. Some people that we see today, as my wife and I were discussing, she was saying, there are some preachers that can preach good. So I said, well, how does a preacher preach good? So she said, She said, let me get back with you on that. So I said, okay. And I say this to you, anyone that stands up and delivers the word of God, whether he got a melodious voice, a good voice, as long as he can put the word out and lives are affected by it. This radio station is here to help somebody come close to Jesus Christ. So tonight is the night we continue. See, in this, everyone in this world, they have very varied reasons why they don't want the Holy Spirit. Now, let me list some for you, and I'm going to come down and talk to you about it. Number one would be ignorance, fear, doctrinal difference, and lastly, sin. So ignorance, as I have spoken to others about it, like the men of Ephesus, many believers today are unaware of what the Holy Spirit is in the church. They don't even know it. Why? Because they've been taught. When they start teaching it. How? Right now. Shall we move forward? As a result, they that go through this Christian walk, void of the power that God has available for them. Some churches and denominations, that's why it's got a small C with a double S, churches and denominations, through ignorance, are struggling with and even fighting the experience of the Holy Spirit. Fear. Some people are afraid of it because they might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They will be persecuted, put out of churches, or the experience could divide the local church. Others are simply afraid. I had one to say, I don't want to come on me because I'm happy where I am. See, that's the devil talking. And I pray that they will receive the goodness, the vivaciousness of God. See, God wants to do a great work through us, but it's up to us if we want to do it. Doctrinal difference. See, still others have problems receiving the blessing, see, here's what I want you to understand is this. See, one thing I want you to understand. They deny the validity of the experience, teaching that is either unscriptural, unnecessary, but not for today. Not for all believers. That's what they say. A claim is from the devil. The devil. The devil made me do it. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Some believe and teach that all believers are already baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, they ain't got to the true lesson yet. Sin. S-I-N. God would give the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Acts chapter 5, verses 37. From praying with people with the Holy Spirit, I have seen, I witnessed in my life, unconfessed sin, occult involvement in the past, and unforgiveness in areas that hinder people from receiving. So I say this, search the scriptures. St. John 5:39 says, search the scripture, and them I found, and they speak of me, and they lead to life. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I suggest that you search with us through the scriptures on this subject in order to have fine answers to your questions and to find a biblical perspective of this experience. And you know what I'll say to you tonight? Let me ask you a question. What is the Holy Spirit? That's another bold one. I got it. First, I ask you, since you believe, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? And another power punch. See, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is of God. It's the third person of the Trinity. And the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And in the reference to the scriptures as God. Acts chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Let me give you something to take with you. Two quick points, because I want you to take this. Three quick points I want to give to you. I already said the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was moved upon the waters during creation and made on earth. When we read Genesis 1 and 2, we find that out. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon men and anointed or empowered them for special tasks. Samson, for example, did mighty feasts. Mighty feasts. Strengthened whatever the Spirit of God came upon him. Whenever the Spirit of God came upon him. Judges 3, verses 14 to 13. Prophets spoke the word of the Lord as they were inspired or moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. The Old Testament prophecy that God would someday pour out his Spirit upon all mankind. Joel 2, 28, 29. Shortly after the resurrection of the ascension of Jesus, this prediction became to be fulfilled in the day of Pentecost. And a lot of us have studied the word, and we have studied Pentecost. Penta. 50 days after the resurrection. 40 days, and then 10 days that they had to labor for it. 40 days Jesus walked earth. He left. But he told them for the 10 days, go down and tarry and wait. And as a result of them tarrying and waiting, God sent the Holy Spirit and baptized men who believed. Are you a believer? If you're a believer, you can have the same thing. You can have the same pleasure that God has, the same understanding. When the Holy Spirit leads you to God's knowledge, it's awesome. It is a fact. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever will not die, but they shall have eternal life. And to have eternal life, it means that this physical body is going to die. But my spiritual body, because if I'm encased in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, it's going to be automatic for me and for you. So, I will say this to a lot of believers. In the Old Testament, when Joel spoke of this, and I mentioned it many times, See, the more you re-mention something, you're trying to get it input in a person's heart. And the more we try to put it in your heart, your spiritual heart, so that you can do it, so we can understand. Joel prophesied, and he said this here. He said he's going to baptize you, and he says, as I told you about those men, it came to pass. And it continues to be poured out on all who receive him. So don't let nobody tell you that's not true. So the next thing I take notice of, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. John the Baptist was baptized Jesus in the name of and what? Told his followers that the Messiah who would identify as Jesus would be the one who would baptize people in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11. See, don't be caught up when the bishop, not a five-part of the five-fold, just a good office, or the five-fold, Jesus is the baptizer. Not Hunter, not Willie J. Hunter, but the Holy Father, Holy Son is the one. The Holy Spirit come. And you know what? Your heart must be receptive. Because when you receive it, I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. Things look dark, you're going to see it. But you're going to have to always stay in prayer. I say that the more you pray, the more you open and see what God wants you. You have to take time to study. You have to take time to pray, to read, to go out and do some work. But you got to keep your mind made on Jesus. Like he said to Joshua, he said, let this book just be moved from you. Meditate upon it day and night. Everything that's in that book, do it. Why? Because God said it will be of a good success and will lead you to a proper place. And I say today, as I study with y'all tonight, to say these words to you in love and kindness. Oh! See, when Jesus earthly ministry, Jesus did a lot of awesome things. And one day I'm going to get it together and I'm going to teach you about it. This is what Jesus did. He can do it for you also. Here he went around healing, laying hands on them, casting demons out, and he even got the disciples to go out. He said he breathed on them. See, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit, but he breathed on them. That take a go out. He said, go out two by two. Well, I send you. He said, don't take a nickel or a dime, but come on back. Don't take nothing. He came back and he told Jesus, oh, Jesus, Lord, we're going to come back to even a demon. The devil bowed us. But Jesus said, don't get all upset. He said, don't get all upset because you're going to have to do something. And I've come to understand, the more we trust in God, the more we want to do it. Satan has a game, but God's game is uno. In other words, God's game is one. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. See, the devil has two games. He got to show you and fake you. See, God just spoke. It happened. See, the devil got to shake it and fake it. Because he don't have the realness of the reality of what God has. And that's why I say to the believers, keep your eyes on Yeshua, HaMashiach. Keep your eyes on him. Why? Because there's none like him. We ain't ever seen God physically. Nobody but God. Even those who saw him, they saw him in fire. The only one that can say that I've seen the Father and the Father's in me was Jesus Christ. When they asked him a question, Paul's followers, they said, show us the Father that it might suffice us. And the Father spoke to the Son and said, Have I not been with you so long, long, and you don't know me? They jump back and say, oh, God was doing the work. How you think all that was happening? Jesus said the power I have is from the Father. If the Father don't show it to me, I don't do it. I'm learning. If the Lord said do it, do it. Amen. The disciples of Jesus were commanded to carry the gospel around and to the whole world. Jesus commanded the first to he empowered them with the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:4-8, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were bold in their witness for Jesus. Acts 4:31. You read it, please. And they were used to perform miracles by the power of God. Acts 3:1-11. Wow. See, what's happening today, beloved? In the life we now live, everybody don't want to come to the reality of knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nobody wants to understand the five books of Moses. Nobody wants to understand the prophets. Nobody wants to understand the Ecclesiastes. Nobody wants to understand Proverbs. They don't want the New Testament, the full gospel. They don't want the letters that were written by Paul. And they sure don't want the book of Revelation. So what do they want? See, the devil wants people to want nothing. But God said to us, particularly to me, all that I have belong to you, Father, my prayer. All that I hope to be belong to you. And all that I hope to have belong to you, Father. Why? Because I want God to be glorified. And the more I do what God wants me to do, the more I can say, thank you, Holy Father. You know, sometimes every day is not a good day, but you have to pray your way through. See, all of us got to go in the wilderness. And when you think you come out of one wilderness, you come out for just a moment. And all of a sudden, bam, another wilderness. See, because we are surrounded by evil, evil is always present. Don't fool yourself and think you the devil. He's not here. He is here, but he ain't doing nothing. So do all believers have a dwelling inside of them? And that's a question I say everybody that's listening, that will ever listen. The question is raised, do all believers have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit dwelling inside them? Paul wrote very simple words. If a man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. Romans 8:29, I read that, I said, oh my Lord. He said another place that no man can genuinely confess that Jesus is Lord unless it is by the Spirit. Therefore, if a person has been born again, he has the Spirit of God living inside him. However, now take notice, there is an added a dimension of power of fullness with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, it's so important that there is a dweller, an indweller, because the more he stirs up in you, the more you're going to say, and I tell you, the more he stirs up, the more I want to say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Father, for keeping my eyes upon you, my eyes upon the storepost in glory. Thank you, Father. And then I want to talk to us one more time. Is the baptism in the Holy Spirit an experience or separated from? Is it an experience? Is it separate from salvation? And make a note. I'm putting the X by because I'm going to teach that. Next time, there are five places in the book of Acts where people were baptized into the Holy Spirit. From these five, I'm going to give you some case history. You will be able to see what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experience beyond salvation reserved for those who are already believers. See, they got some believers that are already believing. Let's get right, church. Let's get it right. Huh? Let's get it right. Because the more we live in the vineyard of God, the more, see, everybody will get paid the same thing. Just because you came in and said, nope, all the same pay. And the gifts, all that God's going to give us, when we come before him, we're going to take him and say, we're not even worthy. Going to toss him at the feet of Jesus Christ. I know I am. I am not worthy for what you've done for me. I know I'm not worthy. Now, how can I know that I know it? I know it because God has made it so. See, when the Holy Spirit, let me give some case histories that I can prove to you from a scripture standpoint. I will point out to you that I'm gonna give you five cases. I'm going to call them out to you because I got 4 minutes, so that's another sister for to come on. But the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1-4, the new believers of Samaria, Acts 8:14-12, the new covenant named Paul, well, we all know about the Paul, Cornelius' household, the Ephesus believers. The day of Pentecost, when God told the disciples, meet him down there 40 days after the resurrection, 10 days, go down to Jerusalem, stay there unto you, and die with power. They did. The new believers in the Samaritan church, that was a great happening down there. And there was a revival going on because they received the Holy Ghost. Peter and John had to come down there and to Jerusalem, but it was just a million that they received. See, God has sent people that's how he can help you to receive the Holy Ghost. But in the early new churches, the people were aware of what God was doing for them and through them. So the new covenant was Paul. We read about the book of Paul, how that he went out there and he was going to slaughter all the Christians. He was saved on the way to the total of the Lord, on the road to Damascus. And I always ask the question, he said, Saul, 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 why have you done this? Why have you persecuted me? And Paul, with even his intellectual position, he said, who are you, Lord? In other words, see, he was still denying the presence, but God was so gentle and so merciful. He said, I am the Lord whom you persecute. And for 3 days he was blind, but God was so good. He had a deacon named Ananias. So Ananias, go down and lay hands on the Apostle Paul so you can see his eye. Ananias forgot all. Oh, no, wait a minute. Lord, no. See, good God Almighty. Ananias said, Lord, this man was against the body of Christ. But God said, I know his heart is changed because I did. I have a need for him for the ongoing of what I have planned. Praise God. Praise God. And you can find it where Paul spoke in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:18. Lastly, as I come to a close on this lesson, Cornelius and his household. Acts 10:44-46. Cornelius was a gentle soldier. He received the heavenly message and sent to Peter, who told him and would lead him to the truth. When Peter got there, remember now, he found Cornelius. Now let me tell you something. See, some people did what Cornelius did. Cornelius got all his friends, his relatives, all that he could to hear what Peter was getting ready to say. As Peter spoke to them, they believed and were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. Read that in the book of Acts, chapter 10:4-6. My last case that I want to present my case, Father, is this. The Ephesian believers, Acts 19:1-7. Paul met the believers in Ephesus who had not received the Holy Ghost after he was sure of their salvation experience. He prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. They received, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Now, I listed some things that I believe will bless you. Observation. See there from observation. That could help you with the five incidences. You want to get it? Listen to the tape. You can come on Blog Talk Radio, download it, and listen. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experience separate from salvation. A person can receive the Holy Spirit moments after believing. Laying of hands by believers is helping for a person to receive. It's not essential, but it's helpful. Speaking in tongues is the initial evidence. As I say, when I first spoke, I was yada. But ever since then, I began to speak in tongues beyond understanding. See, it's the intuitional evidence that a person has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And my latter part is, I will say this. My latter part that I will say to you, when I talk about it, it's the latter part says, the baptism and the Holy Spirit was a normal experience for the New Testament believer. And my time is up, and I thank God for listening. We got a lady coming on tonight. We want to talk. Hello, Sonia. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Hunter. How you doing?
I'm blessed. I am blessed. Well, I've been teaching and waiting on you to come up and teaching every week about raising the question, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've been asking a question. I've got some lesson. I've been printing out, and I've been teaching it, but I want to hear what the Lord laid on your heart tonight. Okay.
At 1 John 2:15-17.
Okay.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father,
we come boldly to the throne of grace. Asking you for your presence. Father, let it be all of you and none of us. Speak through our vocal cords and through our minds. We find every word that tries to come against your word, and we ask you to flow freely, uninterrupted, and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. Is it 1 John 2:15-17? Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longing of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources, or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. And the world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden craving, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides, remains forever.
Amen.
I just wanted to pick up that word again. I just would never leave. And I thank God for that. You know, looking at verse 15, be crucified to the world. Be mortified to the things, to the affairs, enticements of it. You know, as Christians, that's how we should be living, a true believer.
Amen.
The love should be reserved for God and not thrown away upon the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 15 also goes to show the heart of a man is narrow and cannot contain both loves. The world draws down the heart from God. And so the more the love of the world prevails, the more the love of God dwindles and decays. It is not ordained of God. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world, the love or lust. This is not from God, and it's not appointed by God. And it intrudes itself. You know, the world intrudes itself. And the world, it usurps our affection. You know, it just sucks us in. This is not what God called us to. Now, here we have the due consideration and the notion of the world according to which it is to be crucified and renounced. You know, when we look at, you know, because these are systems. This is satanic, you know, the systems of the world. That's what the devil, that's what Satan showed Jesus. He said, you know, I got all this, and I can give it to you. And he says the same thing to us. He said the same thing to Eve. I got it all. I can give it to you. The world, physically considered, you know, if we really look at the world is good, and it's to be admired as the work of God, but this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about these systems, the economic systems. We're talking about this political system. We're talking about, like, you know, the fashion and the industry of it, you know, the whole concepts behind it, the greediness, the desiring, the wanting. You know, we're talking about these things that you know, when you look on when you look in Africa and see starving children that are hungry and thirsty, that should be the money that is in this world. We have enough to feed everybody. The reason we've got situations like this and the reason we have wars is just because of greed, the world system. You know, hoarding things, wanting to have all this stuff to yourself. So it's not the world itself, the handiwork of God. This is the systems of the world. And, you know, we really need to look at it for what it is, because a lot of times we get sucked up in it, and, you know, we don't understand what we're doing here. And it's time for us to open our eyes as true believers and see what we're really dealing with, because it affects us on an individual base. It affects us as the body of Christ. It affects us corporately and individually in our families, our children, and raising them, and how we're dealing with things on a daily basis. And if we're asleep to these things, we just bring them on in the house. We bring them on in the church, and it's just business as usual. And that's why I think that God has us to just sit right here for a minute, and I praise him for where he's taking us tonight.
Amen.
So I'm just going to go back over a few things from last week, and we're going to keep moving on. You know, I thank God for this, because it's a transforming world. I mean, transforming word. The things of the world, therefore, are distinguished into the three classes, and we really went over this last week, but I want to hit it again. According to these classes, there is the lust of the flesh. The flesh here being distinguished from the eyes and the life imports the body. The lust of the flesh is subjectively the humor and appetite, the indulging fleshly pleasures. Objectively, all these things that excite and inflame the pleasures of the flesh. The lust is usually called luxury. You know, a lot of us, you know, and one of these things, you know, these cars, these Bentleys, these Porsches, you know, they can drive you, these big houses. But that's not supposed to be the driving force for us as Christians. You know, the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. You know, we've got to put things in the right perspective. We can't seek first stuff and then put God somewhere in there where it's convenient. We got to seek God first and his righteousness.
Amen.
He said all these things. He'll give us when we look in the Old Testament, there's all kinds of promises made to us. You know, the blessings of the Lord. We don't have to worry about those things. But when we focus our attention and stop there and start just seeking after these things, that's where we get off track.
Uh-huh.
Next, there is the lust of the eye. The eyes are delighted with treasures, riches, and rich possessions, and are craved by the extravagant eye. This is the lust of covetousness. You know, looking at what other people got and moan that. That's not our business. Our business is to focus on God. And then there's the pride of life. A vain man craves all the grandeur, the pomp of vainglorious life, the ambition. You know, I see this every day. You know, folks just running, you know, to get to the next level. They want to be, you know, the director. They want to be, you know, the USG or the ASG where I work at. You know, they just want to, and they don't care who they step on or what they do to get there. And, you know, this is not the way we live as true believers.
That's
the objective of these appetites must be abandoned and renounced as they engage and engross the affection and desires that are not of the Father, but of the world. The Father disallows them, and the world should keep them to itself. The lust or appetites of these things must be mortified and subdued. And so the indulging of it is not appointed by the Father, but it's insulated by the ensnaring world. From the vain and vanishing state of earthly things and the employment of them, and the world passes away in lust thereof. All this stuff is passing away. The things of the world fading and dying fade. The lust itself and the pleasures of it wither and decay. Desires itself are ere long fail and cease. And what has become of all the pomp and pleasure of all those who now lie moldering in the grave?
Yeah.
Now everybody's going to go to the grave. But we have eternal life as true believers.
Amen.
You know, from the mortality of the divine love of the lover of God. But he that doeth the will of God, which must be the character of the love of God, lover of God, in opposition to this lover of the world, abideth forever.
Forever.
Our future, that we abide forever. Now, that's a beautiful future for that right there. The objective of his love in opposition to the world that passes away, abide forever. His sacred passion of affection. And the passeth away abideth forever. Love shall never fail, and he himself is an heir of immortality and endless life, and shall in time be translated thither. From the whole of these verses, we should observe the purity and spirituality of the apostolical doctrine. Praise the Lord. And, you know, this took me over to Romans 12:2. And that's where I wanted to kind of sit tonight. I just wanted to go through that background. But Romans 12:2 gives us the word that, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. Paul implies several things here. There's a, hello? I don't think anybody's here anymore. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. But Paul is implying several there's a very real pleasure to conform to the patterns of this present world system and be squeezed into its mold on many different levels.
Yes.
This pressure must be firmly resisted by true believers. You know, we are true believers. You know, not this church or not this religious system, but true believers. The reason we must resist conforming to the present world system is that it is under Satan's rule.
Yes.
That's what I was just saying. You know, these different systems. This is Satan's rule. And it's hostile to God and his people.
Yes,
and
it is
built upon human wisdom and value and upon unbiblical worldviews. The kingdom of Christ is not of this world. And this world kingdom is full of darkness, deception, and seduction. On the one hand, believers are called to be light in the midst of darkness. On the other hand, believers are exhorted in Scripture to resist the temptations, to yield or conform to the many forms of worldliness surrounding the church, such as greed, what we just talked about, the greed that has the world in the upheaval that it's in right now. It has the wars going on. This is all based on greed. Everything we see as a problem around us is based on greed. The starvation, the things that are going on in Africa right now, the wars that are going on all over the world, even the planes being shot down. This is just a subject of greed. You know, when you see some major accident like the ferry accident in Korea, that was greed. The people modified the ship and they're trying to make more money, you know, not even practicing the standards of loading the ship properly. So these teenagers died because of that.
This is greed.
And this is what this world system has, and it's built upon greed. You look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say because they didn't want to lose their position. Greed.
Preach.
You know, they're sitting there with the Messiah right in front of them. They know the scriptures. And they are so busy trying to hold their position and not trying to be, you know, don't want to be conformed to what Jesus is talking about. They don't even understand who they're talking to. Greed. Have them blind. And this is what the God of this world does. He blinds you. Come on now, that's in the Word of God. Once you step over into that world system, you're blinded.
You're blind.
And that's what you just putting some blinders on. And that's the way you're going. And the thing about it is it doesn't have anything for you.
My God.
You are trading eternal life For nothing.
Preach it.
Believers are called to be light in the midst of darkness.
Yes.
Believers are exhorted in the scripture to resist the temptation, to yield, to conform to the many forms of worldliness surrounding the church.
That's it.
Greed, self-centered living, humanistic thinking, political maneuvering for power, envy, hatred, revenge, lust, filthy language, ungodly entertainment, fashionable clothes that are immodest and sexually seductive, immorality, drugs, intoxication, worldly companions, and unrighteous things. The alternative to conforming to the world's values and lifestyle is transformation. And the Word tells us to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
All right.
Transformation results when Christ and his word renews our mind so that our vision, our values, and our plans are governed by God's revelation and eternal truths rather than by the world's temporal and deceptive patterns.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our minds have already been formed to the world way since birth.
Amen.
We got to lose our mind, okay?
Amen.
we got to lose this mind that's been developed, and we've got to take on the mind of Christ.
Amen.
That's it. Amen.
And we've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. To renew it, we've got to get in this word, and the word got to tell us what our mind should be thinking.
Amen.
Not calling up sister girl and such and such and say, hey, what y'all think? It ain't about what nobody thinks. It ain't about what mama think. It ain't about what daddy think, shenanigans, or nobody. It's about what the word of God says. You know, we jump on these telephones real quick and want to know what somebody thinks. That ain't going to help us right now. We got to renew our mind. We got to lose our mind.
Yes,
we got
right.
to take on this new mind in Jesus' name. And this is where this will of God comes from. I mean, we read the scripture over and over. And we know what we've got to do because we got to lay down this life.
Yeah. Got to.
We gotta lay down our life. I mean, if you got a choice every day. Am I gonna do it my way or am I gonna do it God's way?
Teach.
That's your choice.
My God.
And the thing about it, if you're a true believer, you're looking for God's will in everything that you're doing. So that's something that, you know, some of us got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Amen.
So it ain't going to happen until you get tired. Because you're going to either go on with it or you're going to get tired of this mess and you're going to say, okay, I surrender all. Because that's what it's all about tonight.
Amen.
You're either going to, because you can't do a 20-80. You can't just surrender 20 or 15 or 5. It don't work like that. You either give all or nothing. That's what
all
God's for this year. You're going to have to throw it all in. You can't hold nothing back.
Amen.
You know. And that's what God is looking for us tonight. And that's what I didn't read verse 1. But it said, but it was a prerequisite to 2. You know, you gotta give it all. And your body, you are a sacrifice. Your whole thing is a sacrifice. You know,
yes.
God made you. You broke the mold.
Yes.
You are one of a kind. You are a Mona Lisa on whatever your name is. Just put that first, and then put Lisa at the end. And you know, you are one of a kind. You are a masterpiece, and He wants the whole thing. Because He can use our personality and He can use this demeanor that He put in us, you know, and all this is a sacrifice. Our whole life is a sacrifice. And everywhere we are is the ministry.
Amen.
Because when you go into all the world, that's the world that's around you. And that's the world that God has you in doing whatever you do. That's where you're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. You the living epistle wherever you are.
Yeah.
And if you sitting up here looking like the world, what do you think they going to, there's nothing for them to ask you, you know, and you can't be looking like the world.
And we're
supposed to be not of this world. We're supposed to be transformed. They're supposed to be saying, what is it about you? It's something about you. You know, we're supposed to be this peculiar people. There's something different about us because we're following Christ. You know, people ask me, you know, they say, well, what are you doing? Who do you know? How did you get here? I said, you know what? I know Jehovah Jireh. That's who I'm hooked up with.
that
should be something. They should be asking us questions. You know, I know you don't be going to all these social calls and the after work drinking things. And so how do you do what you do? And how you getting where you going? You know, I don't see you out there sleeping around with these folks and all that, because that's what the world do to make where they're going, you know, to get to the next level. They go to have to drink at the bar. They go to sleep with them. They go to do whatever they do to just follow behind them and do, you know, they got to network it. Honey, we got to network with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's either Lord of all or Lord of nothing. Okay. And the thing about it, this transformation process, when we get in there, when we give our all, when we give our bodies as a living sacrifice, because we're not a dead sacrifice now. We're walking around still living sacrifice.
Come on.
Okay? And when we do this and we're being, when we allow ourselves to be transformed, because see, you got the free will to either be transformed or not transformed. But when we allow ourselves to be transformed, we're going to see that acceptable will of God. We're going to see the acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you know that's some good stuff.
Yes,
Amen.
How
you going to get better? How are you going to get better? Or how can you have a better life than having the acceptable and perfect will of God in your life? Come on, somebody tell me something.
Amen.
Because I know, I'm going to tell you, I've been out in the world. And I was running after the world. I did all that stuff I was reading off and all that stuff I was talking about. And none of it satisfied me. I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil tonight. All them T-Rexes got to come out of my closet. I did it all, every bit of it. And none of it will give you any satisfaction.
Come on.
And the thing about it, it's empty. And you know what? God has a way. And he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes,
and let me tell you something. That way and that truth is a life. That's a beautiful life.
Thank you.
And when we're transformed, when we are not conforming to this world. And when we are transformed, because it's a process, you just don't do the transformation and just boom, you're there. It's a process. But when we stay in that process, our result is the acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. My, my, my.
Glory.
And you know what? Glory. It's just like MC Hammer. You know, he used to sing that song, "You Can't Touch That."
You took us back a distance that time, sister. She put a higgin out up there. Oh God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For your word. Your word is pure. Your word is true. Your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Your word. Amen. Amen. Well, we've heard the word from the Lord, from the lady tonight, and she came from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15-17. And she made a statement, do not love this world. The world has nothing out for us. So I thank God for tonight. The line's open. The line's open. Amen, amen. Praise you, Father. Praise you. Hallelujah. Ain't no God like our God. Well, I want to tell you, I've been helped by what she taught tonight. My spirit man has been lifted up more and more and more, because I used to be in that same catacomb. Find the press of way in. But I found out that's not God's call. God says, he says, he promote from the east to the west. It comes from God. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm on your team. Because, see, the world will say, if you do this for me, I do that for you. Okay, I'm going to do that for you, but I want you to do it for me. So they find somebody. Well, they say they're going to do this for me, but if they're going to do it for me, I'll do that for you if you do that for me. It's a game that the devil has playing. But we who know the Lord must come to the ultimate conclusion. And as she said, when she grinned by her first scripture, when she was trying to break it in, we have to come to a valid position to serve the living God. There is no other God but God himself. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know she's not talking about hallelujah. But I know I've been putting stuff on our Facebook. See, when we come out of the world, give me just a few more moments to say this, and I'm going to let somebody else who got some words to say. But we all know the lady named Brenda Lipscomb. She asked for prayer. I call a person as a prayer warrior. We prayed together, and we believe, and I put it on the Facebook. She said she went to the doctor. She had cancer. She was all upset. But when God, the prayers of the righteous are called around in the one, they didn't know it. I said, can you pray with me? It was, I'm asking you. When I called and said, can you pray with me? It's something that God has me doing. And she wrote back to us and said, praise God. The doctor say I am complete healed. Don't know what's going on in my system, but I'm healed. What a cancer was trying to take over. Now the word of God is taken alive. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord. See, this ain't no game to play. This is for real. Like I told the folks about the football was on. I said, look, I used to play football, but it ain't my game. No, my game is to win. I go to WIN for God the Father. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The line's open. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
To God be the glory.
You know, amen. God bless everyone. You know, in order to be effective, the Word of God says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. But in order to be effective, you first of all got to love God. Just like the woman of God was teaching on tonight. First of all, you got to love Him, because if you don't love Him, you don't know Him, and you're not going to do what's pleasing in His eyesight. Because you want to do, because you're not being transformed. And that's the whole falling in love with Jesus. And once you fall in love with Jesus, the transformation automatic begins, because He begins to woo you. He begins to, as a man and a woman, go. They say courting or dating. You know, that's what it do. You pull out the finest. You know, and we know that of the wedding. You know, there was a wedding, and they ran out of wine. Jesus didn't give them seconds. He gave them the best. And that's what He does. When we fall in love with Him, He gives us the best. And when you taste of that, and you see how good it is, and how good He is, you begin to share. Because this is something that you can't hold. You know, Jeremiah says, like fire that shut up in my bones. And that's how it should be. It should be like fire. And everywhere you go, you should want to release that fire. You want to bring hope to someone. He says, preach the gospel. Go preach the lost. Teaching them salvation wherever I tell you to go. And bring them hope.
You know what, woman of God?
Yes, ma'am.
You know what, when you said He give you the best? He didn't allow anything else. He came to reconcile us. He sent the best to us, Himself. And He died for our sins, past, present, and future.
Yes.
He Himself is the best.
Yes.
What you're saying is absolutely true, and that's the amazing thing of the gospel. You know, you can look at every religion. God and those other religions didn't do nothing like that.
No.
You can look at every one of them. From the Word of God, the God we serve gave Himself.
Yes.
There ain't nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do.
He did it.
And He is the best.
Mom.
It's all about Him and what He has done for us. Now, where we are now, we need to understand that completely and walk in it completely.
Yeah.
And you know what I heard a young Christian say this weekend, and I mean, it just squeezed my heart. He said, who is Jesus? I said, look at that. We started talking about that.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what? That's what we need to be able to explain very simply to people.
That's it.
Who is Jesus? That's the question right there that needs to be answered for everybody.
Everybody.
Who is Jesus?
Who is Jesus?
Who is Jesus? Who is He? What did He do? And what do we have because of who He is?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Because that's
Amen.
The issue right there.
That's the issue.
And do we believe? Because that's what needs to be preached.
Yeah.
And that's what needs to be lived, because when we walk in, they ought to see Jesus.
Come on.
I mean, come on. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's it.
Amen.
That's it.
And see, we got all this other stuff going on in the church. But who is Jesus?
Who is Jesus?
Come on, that's a hit on all of us tonight.
Yes,
we got to get this thing together and get back to the basic of what He called us to do.
Sir.
Who is Jesus? Go tell the world about me, and you go live me.
My God.
And He said we're going to do greater works. Go out there and do them.
Amen.
That's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. I ain't looking for all this and other stuff. I'm looking for that. I want to walk around like Peter. You know, they saw the guy and they said, hey, get up in the name of Jesus. And he got up.
Yes, sir. Woo.
That's what I want to do. I want you people to see Jesus.
You better
I want to preach Jesus. I want to
you
live Jesus.
Yes.
That's what we're supposed to do.
That's it.
A lot of other stuff going on in the body here.
Amen.
So you know what? We got to be the change we want to see. And when they say who is Jesus, we need to be the one to tell them. And when
Amen.
They need to see Jesus, they need to see me, a living epistle, walking around.
Come on.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't
mean
to take you back like that.
Amen.
That's all right.
Let God have his way. See, that's the thing. We don't want to humble ourselves before God. We don't want to move by his spirit. And we got to learn how to move by his spirit. Everybody want to move by the power, but they don't want to move by the spirit. And he says those who are sons and daughters of God, they're led by the spirit.
Amen.
What people don't understand is God does things in part. Because I establish my word between two or three witnesses. So one might have one part of the story, and one might have another part of the story, and one might have another part of the story. But it's a puzzle. They all fit together.
Amen.
We got to learn how to humble ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to speak.
My God.
I bless the Lord.
I bless the Lord.
You know, Minister Sonia, you know, the kingdom of God is still about balance. But we take it back by force. And that's what we got to do. We're commissioned to take it back by force. You know, we can sit and we can talk about what the government is doing, what the world is doing, but what are we? Are we truly dying to the cause? Are we ready to really lay down our life and take it back? Yes, I am. Yes, I am, because to die in God is the gain. And that's what people have to understand. It's no longer I, but it's he that lives in me, that drives me to do what I do. We got to be transformed. We got to be renewed. Our minds be renewed. We got to, you said take off our own minds. But you know what? God gave me a word, woman of God, last year, and I taught on change. And one part of that word was, we need to be beheaded. Take off our heads and put on Christ. Hallelujah. You see, it ain't even just enough to change to change your mindset. We got to be beheaded. Because, see, sometimes we begin to be transformed, but then we start slipping back to the ways that we used to be and the ways we used to go. But if we truly take off our heads, be beheaded, you don't have any other choice but to put his head on.
Amen.
It's time for somebody to live holy and to live righteous. Same thing you said. The same thing. I am so serious. I'm telling you because I'm seeking God for the more. I'm in the place of the more because the greater works we are to do. People are to be transformed. They are to see the light when they see us. They are to see manifestation when they see us. It should be an automatic change when Jesus opened up his mouth. When he spoke it, it was so. And that's
Amen.
The same power and authority that God has given unto us, but we don't want to truly deny ourselves. We don't want to consecrate and lay before him and cut out everything. Cut the TV off. Cut the phone off. Just take it. Cut everything. Let me tell you something. I got home from church yesterday, and I came in, and I took me a nap.
And in the midst of this nap, I had left the TV on the weather channel. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit woke me up ministering to me through the weather channel. See, we don't understand. No, let me tell you. See, we don't understand, and I'm telling you, and I began to weep, and I began to cry, because we don't understand that the tornadoes are about to hit. You're talking about these tornadoes that are just hitting the land. No, the tornadoes that God is shaking and moving upon this earth, that he's got to wake up some stuff.
Amen.
And I looked, and when he woke me up to this, and I'm looking at this blast, and I'm looking at this tornado and how strong it is, and how that glass is flying everywhere, and how these houses are just ripped and torn apart. People are looking for us. They are tornadoes, and they are torn apart. They ripped up. They messed up, and they're looking for man and God. The land is crying and screaming, help, 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 help. But we got to be in place. We got to be in position. There is a cry in the land. If we just take off our own hearing and put on his hearing, beheaded. Be beheaded. So nothing, your eye gate won't be messed up, your ear gate won't be messed up, your mouth gate won't be messed up. You will hear, you will see, and you will do what he has called us to do.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I told God, I said, that's powerful. It was powerful yesterday how he woke me up, and I'm weeping and crying, and he gave me such a great word out of that.
That is powerful. And that is the problem. That is the problem. People are out of position. You know,
yes,
I got that word last week.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are wrong in people's lives is because folks are out of position. Mama was out of position. Daddy was out of position. And they left stuff uncovered. There's uncovered places in people's lives. You know, when you see a child, an orphan, they are completely uncovered. The mama's not there for different reasons. But being in position, that was the word that the prophet gave Jehoshaphat. Remember back in the Old Testament?
Yeah.
Take your position.
Take your position.
You will not need to fight in this battle. Come on now.
Y'all
know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
this position is very important. If you think about the military, everybody's got a specific position. Now,
that's
if somebody's
right.
out of position, you got a problem.
Amen. Yeah.
That's the same thing that the woman of God is talking about right there.
Amen.
With these positions. That's the same word the Lord is, and it's all in families where people are out of position.
Yes.
They done touched somebody wrong, they done talked wrong, they done wrong, and they want to keep that mess covered up, and it's just impacting lives, and it's just snowballing, grabbing every and anything, and families are just generationally messed up.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and then, you know, Tyler Perry did a beautiful job of uncovering a lot of stuff, but God has uncovered. He just hit a piece of the iceberg.
Yes.
These families got a lot of junk in them. Black, white, red, yellow, all of them.
Come on.
And they don't want to talk about it. And they want to keep folks messed up, tied up, and tangled up in that mess.
Yes.
And God has came to set the captive free.
Yes, he did. And I choose to be free. Hallelujah.
And you know what? I tell you what. When you come with the truth, that's going to separate some stuff.
Yes, it does.
Now, I got my own personal testimony. You know,
yes,
that has separated a lot of people from me. And it don't feel good. I'm just going to be frank about it, you know.
Well, you know
a lot of my family don't want nothing to deal with me because of the truth.
Mm.
And standing up, talking about the truth, that covered stuff. They don't want you to say nothing about it. And they want you to go on like it's okay. Well, that devil is a lie. It's not okay.
Come on. You better say it.
You know, and Jesus said it, because I've never understood that scripture. He didn't, you know, where it says about, you know, the family's going to be separated because of him.
Y'all help me now with that scripture. Y'all know where it is.
Yes.
Help me, somebody.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's in Matthew.
Yeah. And I never understood that. One woman asked me when I first became born again. I said, you know what? I don't know. But you know what? I personally experienced that.
Yes.
And now I know.
Amen. Because you stand for holiness and you stand for righteousness and you stand for the truth. And nobody.
Some people are not going to be happy with that with you and your family.
No.
And your life. And you got to stand up for Jesus. I'm telling you.
Got to.
You got to take your stand. And I'm telling you, put that armor on and stand and be through with it. Now, God, you got it. And I trust you and I believe you. You do what you got to do. And let's go.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not easy. And, you know, I didn't mean to get off track, but that was a good word about that position. That's what I wanted to say.
But, you know, you have blessed your word. See, tonight I want to say, this to the listening audience, those out there. The word of God is pure and true. But I say it with much, much conviction. It's conviction for the righteous of God. Those of us who serve God, we serve God because we know God. We obey God. And I thank God for everything tonight. I've heard tonight. Everything has been said. And the things that I am just believing that it's going to get better and better and better and better. And one thing I say tonight, the goodness of God is always available. But as I was stuttering one night, studying the book of Psalms, God took me to the 19th chapter of the book of Psalms, verses 6 and 9, I believe it is. Because I've been hearing a lot of teaching about fear. See, the devil has got people believing that God casts fear upon them. God does not. The devil is lying. The first thing you realize that scripture reading, the fear of God is clean. It's wholesome. It's righteousness. Fear of God. Fear. Fear. See, and one of the things that I take notice when I looked at the book of Abraham, he didn't consider his body nor his wife. He didn't have the fear. He kept his eyes on what God, he kept his eyes on the promise. And that's what we need to do today, because God has promised us through Yeshua HaMashiach. He has promised us through Jesus Christ what we can have today, not tomorrow, today. It's a N-O-W. And I say that with a conviction. See, I know what I know because I'm seeing what God is doing for me. I'm seeing what God is doing for me. And, you know, I always want to make mention on the radio station that on the 20th to 29th of this month in the month of August, we're going to have this lady from New Jersey to come down to Houston, going to bless us. And the word's out. It's on the Facebook. It's on YouTube. On blah, blah, blah. The word is out there. And a lot of people that say, well, who is the woman? We don't know. I said, come and see. Come and see. See, sometimes, how should I say it, to be honest, Lord? I'm going to be honest. I'm serving steaks and lobsters that night. Hope y'all caught what I just said. A lot of people are hungry. A lot of people need to be fed. But in the Word of God, we got lobsters, we got steaks, we got every desired thing you need. If you can just believe it, it is possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And tonight's the night that I'm once again, because I just want you to pray for me, pray that I will continue to become in humility state with God, continuously compute humility. See, the devil, I'm going to tell you something, in Houston. See, I have a Rolls Royce, I call it. It's called a yellow cab. But I call it a Rolls Royce. They come pick me up. They take me where I want to go. Everybody says, y'all going to do that since I God say. The yellow cab to me is a Rolls Royce. Well, Metro took my information wrong. they had me at another place where I was supposed to pick up at. But I said to God, it's all for a purpose. And you know, I got a chance to talk to some people there about the Word of God. It blessed me so. But I tell you, we love you, and we're getting ready to go to another segment. I want everybody tonight, sister, that God has used you to bring the Word, and I want to thank God for what you have done. And I say to everybody while we're listening, there's much, much, much to be done. Much, much to be done. And the more we can do it, the more God will let us do it. And I will say to all the Father tonight, we thank you for everything you said to us thus far. And I praise you, I love you, I adore you, and I magnify your name. Because the words that were spoken tonight are true to us. They bring us to a point of reality. And Father, because of that, I love you. I ask that you continue to bless us. May that be a groupment. May that be an understanding. May that be love that cannot be lost. But I ask you tonight that you keep us and bless us. And tonight I just say, God bless you. I'm going to put on some music. And I'm going to sign off and let this so somebody listen in. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you until next time. Amen.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless. Praise the Lord.
D63H03, Healing Scriptures.
I'm reading Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart.